Peter, 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 10, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. I was reading just today, one of the rock stars was saying that ever since she was a child, that she wanted to have a sexual relationship with the Holy Spirit. That's what this scripture means. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels which are greater in power and might bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord, but these as natural brute beast, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart. They have exercised with covetous practices. And Peter closed the statement by saying, cursed children. God help us. We are living in the time when our nation is experiencing cursed children. I want to use for a subject tonight, and it saddens my heart, Satan's greatest scourge. Satan's greatest scourge. Would you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, as I minister tonight, I realize how helpless I am within myself. I'm asking you now for physical strength. And I'm asking for the mighty anointing of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. That you will not only anoint me to preach, but anoint these that are here to hear and receive thy word that's able to save their soul. And I will ask all of this in the name of Jesus. Oh God, may it go out and touch the millions of young people that are being led by Lucifer himself to an untimely death and a devil's hell. Bring them back, dear God. Bring them back. And I'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The subject that I believe God would want me to use tonight, rock and roll, Satan's greatest scourge. I am probably closer to it than maybe more people would ever dare dream or realize. Oddly enough, for it was my first cousin, along with Elvis Presley, Chuck Berry, that literally started rock and roll back in the 50s. Jerry Lee Lewis. My mother's sister's son, I was raised with him. He and I learned to play piano almost on the same instrument. Did, actuality. Played in church, played the old songs of glory, Amazing Grace, I've Got a Mansion, Jesus Hold My Hand, the old rugged cross, so many of them. And I've watched and did watch the birth of that which has damned probably more young people than anything the world has ever known in such short period and space of time. I've watched the music that started out bad degenerate until today it beggars description. It's difficult and hard for me to speak on this subject because I know quite a bit about its roots. And I've watched it tear my family to pieces. I've watched the caskets almost line up because the wages of sin is death. I've watched it destroy my cousin. And only by the help of God, only by the mercy and grace of God is he still here. And I'm believing he's coming home in spite of everything hell and demons and devils and Satan can do. I'm not here tonight to lash out at certain performers or rock groups. You will find me a very strange preacher. I have tried to follow the leadings of my master. When it came to officials that were sarcastic toward God, Jesus Christ was sarcastic toward them. He called Herod a fox. When it came to religious leaders that were supposed to lead people to God, but yet they were hypocrites, the Pharisees, he had nothing but scathing denunciation for them. You may wonder why I preach with such fire respecting so-called preachers that are little more than atheists, wolves in sheep's clothing. My master did the same thing. But when it came to the lost, the sinner, even the demon-possessed, when it came to the sinner groping in Stygian darkness, he had nothing but compassion. Neither do I condemn thee, he said. I didn't come to condemn, I came to save. So tonight I don't lash out. I probably will not speak a name as far as rock groups are concerned. I could do it. My staff has put together enough material to preach 25 messages. But my heart breaks for those thousands of performers that have been led astray by Satan into the pathways of darkness. Most of them knowing little or nothing about God, trying to find the popularity, the brass ring, the riches, the fame, and Satan leading them astray and using them to damn the souls of untold millions. And many of them don't even really know what they're doing. And another reason that I don't use their names and desire not to speak of what they have said is because I don't like to glorify Satan. Secondly, I'm not too much interested in the garbled chatter of simpletons. I turned on one of the networks not long ago, and one of the big rock groups had been in a particular city. One of the lady newscasters was on NBC. I guess for 10 minutes she spoke almost with adorating awe of this group. It was like she was pronouncing deity. It was like that she was speaking of God himself. I doubt she would have reserved as much respect for God as she did for this group of people that call themselves musicians and performers. And I sat there and watched her, and I thought, dear lady, I don't know if you have a daughter or not, but if you do, and she was in the company of those that you speak of with such rapt awe and wonder, they would debauch your daughter, they would rape your daughter, they would bind her on alcohol, dissipate her on drugs, and you would watch her in a casket. For this is what you are fooling with. Now, 1935, Joseph Stalin said, if we can, communism, corrupt the morals and the patriotism of one generation in any nation. Say it again. Joseph Stalin said in 1935, if we can corrupt the morals and the patriotism of one generation in any nation in the world, communism can take it. He said, when asked the question, how can that generation, whatever generation it is, be corrupted? He said, you corrupt it in three ways. Number one, immorality. Number two, music. Number three, drugs. That is the perfect catalyst for the music that burst upon this world called rock music over two decades ago. Today, suicide is the second highest cause of death in the United States among teenagers. I want you to think of that. Suicide. One of the most prominent subdivisions of a California city not long ago, they are experiencing suicides among teenagers of unprecedented proportions. And in this affluent area with homes costing $500,000 and $1 million each, the question was asked, why in the world would these that have everything? They've got flashy automobiles, their pockets are full of money, they've got fine homes to live in, their future is bright, and yet they are taking their lives in an unprecedented proportion. Why? They didn't know, they didn't have the answer. But among teenagers tonight, the second cause, greatest second cause of death, is putting a gun to their head, blowing their brains out, or taking a handful of pills. In our city of Baton Rouge, not long ago, a house right next to the house of one of my right-hand men, a young girl, beautiful, 16 years of age, put a gun to her head and blew her brains out. Why? Simply because multiple millions of young people have been pulled into the powers of darkness, something they do not understand, that has but one desire, and that desire is by hell, and that is to completely destroy their soul. And hell is succeeding at an unprecedented rate today. The word rock and roll was coined by a disc jockey, Mr. Alan Freed, 1955, I think it was. The term rock and roll is a street term. It comes from the ghettos of our major cities, and it is a sexual slang of the street, a sexual term, rock and roll. Rock and roll finally degenerated to what was known as hard rock. And then it went into acid rock. And today it's going into punk rock. Television cable channels are filled with the most weird, odd, demented, degenerating, debilitating sounds that a human being could ever look at, designed to destroy everything this Bible counts dear. Radio stations are doing the same and have been doing it for decades. I want you to listen to this. In a certain particular city, not long ago, a TV channel ran a series on adolescent and teenage suicide, which has risen dramatically in recent years. This was written by a lady columnist. She said, "I can't help wondering where the punk rock movement, which is spreading across the country, fits in." She went on to say, in 1966, James Michener wrote an article for the New York Times defending rock and roll music, but there is little resemblance between punk rock and that which Michener was defending. In the beginning, there was Presley, the Beatles, followed by hard rock, acid rock, then came punk rock. She went on to tell about her neighbor's 15-year-old daughter, how she started combing her shortly cropped hair forward when she went to the shopping mall or other places where she might encounter other punk rockers. When this lady tried to discuss with this girl's parents this bondage of punk rock, which had filled this girl's life almost to the exclusion of all else for a total year, the response of the parents was, "Our parents didn't like our music either when we were young. It'll go away like other fads if we just ignore it. But it's not a fad." When the lady tried to tell them about the lyrics, they said, "But no one listens to the words. It's the beat they like." But when she talked to the kids, they told her, "Yes, we listen to the words. And we are subconsciously influenced by the lyrics." This girl's mother later conceded that it is dangerous and that it may already be too late to save her daughter. She said, "Maybe it'll go away, but I wonder how many children it'll take with it." The girl has become rebellious, furtive, terribly depressed. She's alienated from her family, even her friends, except for a small group of youngsters who are also into punk rock music. She has pierced another hole in her ear to accommodate safety pins and has assured her parents that if they refuse to allow her to buy punk rock albums, she'll leave home. Now listen, the very names of these groups lend some insight into the scatological and rotten obscenity of these punk rockers. I won't pronounce all the names because some are so obscene that I couldn't say them in mixed company, but I'll name you a few. These are the names of these groups. Germs is one of them. Savage Republic, Civil Death, Corporate Horrors. Another group is called Sluts. Another group is called Urinals. Another is called Necros, which means making love to dead bodies. While acid and hard rock had to do with sex, drugs, and Satanism, punk rock is concerned with rebellion against parental authority. It's concerned with anarchy and a sickness worse than eroticism or drugs. Now listen. In both punk rock lyrics and punk literature, now listen to this, frequent reference is made to corpses, blood, scabs, fleeing. It takes precedence over erotic and standard four-lettered obscenities. Many punk rock bands hang out in cemeteries. The Los Angeles Voodoo Church Band gets its ideas for new songs by setting in a graveyard. The articles, photos, and illustrations in a publication called Nomag are more disgusting and obscene than any found in Hustler or Penthouse. Yet it is sold at record stores such as Roads to Moscow, which are frequented by children. In one published interview, a band leader talks of a future system of masters and slaves, a pending bloodbath, and the earth being regurgitated. According to another, their purpose is to tell kids the truth. And the truth is, America sucks. And to encourage kids to go against the police, the establishment, and the so-called preachers and Christians. Now listen to this. The same issue contains an article about a 40-year-old female pornographer. Now these are magazines published by punk rock publishing houses, sold to children. Contained an issue about a 40-year-old female pornographer who is intrigued and obsessed with castration and fondling teenagers, accompanied by graphic photos. Two pages are filled with illustrations, photographs, and discussion of keeping food costs down. Now listen to this. By cooking high-protein fetuses, unborn babies, with amniotic fluids and membranes cooked in a special sauce. I want to say it again. Two pages are filled with illustrations, photographs, and discussion of keeping food costs down by cooking high-protein fetuses with amniotic fluids and membranes cooked in a special sauce. Another magazine called Life Sentence ridicules education, comparing life with being a chained up dog fenced in a yard. One titled The Equalizer maligns the work ethic and splashed all over a sheet distributed by Thunderbolt Record Distribution are the words, "Life is ugly, so why not kill yourself?" Now listen. Thousands of boys and girls are listening to such putridity, the lady said, often through headphones for many hours each day. And the thing that's as repulsive is that the parents of these kids are buying and giving the money to those children to buy this filth. A communist leader not long ago stated how easy it would be to take over America by simply corrupting its young people. She went on to say as she closed, "I don't know whether the punk rock movement is communist inspired or not, but I think parents would do well," she said, "to investigate the material their money is furnishing for the kids." Most of you that are in this building are sheltered. You don't really know what's going on. You don't really know how that hell is doing everything within its power to damn and destroy the youth. And I want to tell you this. The kids are facing greater pressures and temptations from hell than me and you ever had to face as a teenager. They are facing powers of darkness that we do not even remotely understand. Satan has but one ambition and desire, and that is to completely steal, kill, and destroy. That's the reason for the suicides. That's the reason for the mental breakdowns. That's the reason for the nervous breakdowns. That's the reason for children today, their minds warped at a tender age. There are four major areas of bondage in rock and roll music. The four things that I will mention, if you would take these out, there would be nothing left. The first one is illicit sex and sexual perversion. Rock and roll music literally breeds passion of erotica, the stimulation of that which is perverted. Its very ambition is to turn you on. And sin can never be satisfied with going just one step. It has to go further and further and further. The average age of the girls at rock concerts is 13 years old. And these girls are listening, as well as the boys, to music that is promoting illicit sex, obscenity in every description. And as it, you want to use the word progresses, but it's not progression, it goes down. And it goes from illicit sex to sexual perversion, which is homosexual. And many of the rock groups today that are world famous are homosexuals. Promoting homosexuality, promoting lesbianism. And then the third step after that is that which I briefly mentioned a moment ago, which is necrophilia. Many of these album jackets on the front, if you know what you're looking for, of these rock groups, has pictures and such that advocates making love to dead bodies. The driving, pulsing power of rock and roll is sex. That's what it is. That's one of the reasons that we've got so many girls today that are pregnant at a tender age. And I want to say something here and leave the subject for one moment. The governmental leaders, the city fathers of our major cities across this nation, that will welcome these illiterate, obscene, degradating rock groups into their cities with police escorts and keys to the city, those men are not worth putting up against a wall and shooting. I know that's hard, but I want to get your attention. To those of you watching me by television, I want to get your attention. Any mayor, any alderman, any chief of police that would welcome such filth, would you welcome rattlesnakes into your city? Would you welcome a pack of deranged, blood-savage wolves into your city? Some of you are so mentally, spiritually deranged yourself. You think that up is down and down is up and in is out and out's in. It's time our politicians came back to the book. It's time our politicians got saved. It's time our politicians started realizing who built this nation of the United States of America. It's founded on God. I won't say any more about that. I might say too much. But I have nothing but utter, absolute contempt for those hypocrites that stand up and ask for votes and talk about their morality when they've got pot in their pocket and coke, they're snorting it on the side and swigging enough alcohol to sink the or float the proverbial battleship. No wonder our nation's going to hell in a handbasket. I'm not talking about tiddlywinks tonight. I'm not talking about playing ring around the roses. I'm not talking about a kid sneaking behind a barn and taking a puff on a homemade cigarette. I'm talking about something that will put them in caskets. I'm talking about something that will make life literal hell on earth. I'm talking about something that will rob their brains and their minds. I'm talking about something that will further damn their soul and they'll burn in hell forever and forever. I know what I'm talking about. And the next sword of death that sweeps through this rot of hell is drugs. Rock and roll music has furthered the drug scene as nothing else in the world has. It has fostered pot, coke, LSD, bennies, heroin, until today the biggest problem in the United States of America is drugs. And it was started by rock and roll music. Lyrics suggesting that drugs would solve all your problems. Woodstock turned the nation on. The beginning of the sexual revolution. Do away with God, the Bible authority. We are free. Anything goes. Marriage is out the window. Sexually active is taking the place of adultery. They don't call it adultery anymore. And who's paying the price? Your children are. That's who's paying the price. Today, $100 billion in 1983 will be spent on drugs in the United States of America. And it was started by rock music. Joseph Stalin knew exactly what he was talking about. And don't you think the communists are not entertaining every effort they get? And I want to make another statement here. The other day, our intelligence in the United States factually concluded that high-ranking officials in Cuba, Cuban government, were engaged in bringing in hundreds of millions of dollars worth of drugs into the United States of America. With that money that comes from the sale of those drugs that's damning and destroying and wrecking the lives of multiple hundreds of thousands of Americans, going to feeding the communist revolution in Latin America. I'm going to say something that a lot of folk won't like. I think the United States of America, the vaunted land of the brave and the home of the free, we ought to turn the United States Marines loose on that island south of Florida and stop that problem. But our nation has lost its guts. Our nation has lost its strength. Our nation has whimpered and cried and petted the Khomeinis and the Castros and the Gaddafis for so long that we don't know how to act like a man. Somebody said, you're supposed to preach love. I am preaching love. I love our kids. I love our children. I love their souls. I love our nation. I love our homes. But I want to tell you, if something's not done, our home and our kids and our nation that we love so much is going to be lost. Illicit sex, including sexual perversion, which goes into necrophilia, then drugs, and now Satanism. Most of these groups are into witchcraft, the occult, seances, the worship of Satan. Many of these songs that I could name and won't blaspheme God in their lyrics over and over and over again. Illicit sex, drugs, Satanism. Their names today, besides some of the filth that I alluded to a few moments ago, speaks of black magic, speaks of the filth of hell, the worship of demons. One noted so-called rock performer that would make you regurgitate when you look at him stated that he prays for homosexual demons to inhabit his body before he goes on stage. In America, that's what you are giving your money to your teenage boys and girls to go see. And the next step from illicit sex and drugs and Satanism is suicide. That's the reason we're having this problem. That's the reason that its suicide rate among teenagers is climbing at an alarming rate. Now, I want to say something. The record business, the rock and roll record business in the United States of America is worth over $8 billion. In this year alone, just the record business. Those records are produced by RCA, Columbia, Decca, plus a host of others. The other day, one of those so-called stars sat at CBS among the record moguls and bit the head off of a live bat. Lord, help me to be as diplomatic as I can. That's the reason this Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Do not tell me those record producers at RCA, at Columbia, at Decca, and all of these other companies do not understand that millions of young people are being turned on to drugs, to living hell, their lives blasted, twisted, wrecked, and destroyed by the trash that they are making in their recording studios and rolling out to the American public. They're doing it because they can line their pockets with money. And I want to tell you this, Hitler's henchmen that murdered 6 million Jews at Dachau, Buchenwald, and Auschwitz and Treblinka were no worse than you scum that would put out this filth that would destroy the millions of young people with eternal souls. There is no name that I could call that element, that ilk, that would fit you. I hope you are watching me. You hide behind your ivory towers. You wear your Brooks Brothers suits. You splash your $500 an ounce perfume behind your ear, mister. You rub shoulders with that gutter filth. And you fill your pockets with money. You are a murderer. You are a murderer, sir. And one day you'll stand before God for with blood on your hands for having killed multiple hundreds of thousands of little boys and little girls. I'm going to get a little closer to home. Do I trouble you? Do I bother you? What did you come out to hear tonight? A reed shaken with the wind, Jesus said. People that wear soft clothing, if you want that, go to the king's palaces. I believe the greatest danger to our young people in the United States of America, the greatest danger, mark what I'm about to say, the greatest danger that's damning their souls, they're sitting there and with phones over their heads, you go by them on the streets and their automobiles, the radios are so loud you can hardly hear. It is the local rock and roll radio station. And the same thing, sir, I said about those so-called record moguls, you businessmen so-called that hide behind your ivory towers and say, well, we're just in it to make money. I know, but your money has blood on it. Your money has the souls of boys and girls on it. Your money has the horror, the hell of millions that are bound by the hell of drugs on it. And you push that pornography, that's what it is. Veritable pornography over the airwaves. At least in the United States, our country has not sunk so low that they'll sell Cutty Sark or Jack Daniels to a 10-year-old. They're coming to it, but they hadn't gotten there yet, thank God. At least they don't sell drugs over the counter to 5-year-olds and 7-year-olds. But a 5 or a 7 or a 10 or a 12 or whatever can turn on their radio and get verbal pornography and get the boosting and the boasting of drugs. If you were to kill every single solitary drug pusher in the United States, line them all up against the wall, shoot them, put them all in a prison, and we'll get them out of here until there's not one left. In 2 years' time, the local rock and roll radio stations would breed another crop of local drug pushers all over this nation. I don't understand how that anybody that could call themselves a Christian, young people would have this type of music. But let me tell you this. When you buy those albums, you're not just having a piece of wax containing music or a little tape with music in your hands. It's as poison as strychnine. If you're addicted to this rot of hell, and that's what it is a diabolical scheme of hell to destroy. Your first step is you ought to destroy every record you've got like that. Throw them out, burn them up, throw them away. Secondly, total abstinence from rock music stations. Don't listen to the gutter garbage trash. Thirdly, remember that the Holy Spirit has a check system for Christians and a right relationship to Him and who are yielded to His will. Examine your relationship with God. Fourthly, recognize rock as a tool of Satan to destroy America's youth, and it's succeeding in unprecedented proportions. All right. Most of you sit there and you shake your head, yes. But I'm going to really trouble America now. I'm going to bother you greatly. I'm going to trouble a lot of you Christians. Because you see, rock music, hard rock, acid rock, punk rock, call it what you like, it degenerates little by little until it is so unimaginably filthy it beggars description today. It's to destroy the young people, and it's succeeding. But Satan has another lever that he's pulling, and it's for the adults, and it's called good old country music. Some of you sat in this place tonight and you think, I like my country music. But when you do, you're liking triangles, adultery, dope, drink, alcohol, hell, filth. That's what you're liking. Some of you watching me right now by television, you would nod your head and yell hallelujah when I talk about rock music, but your country music, that station blares day and night in your car radio or wherever else. I believe that country music today is as diabolical and is destroying as many people as is rock music. I believe it. One of my cousins helped start rock music. And another one of my cousins helped start the honky-tonk craze. Thank God there's one left that didn't fool with it. He told me the other day he owns the largest nightclub in the world. He said... And I hope he won't mind me quoting him. He said, I don't know why people come. Speaking of that place. And you can name them by the thousands across this land. He said, it's dirty. It's obscene. It's putrid. He laughed and said, but I know why they come. They come because it's a place for girls to pick up boys and boys to pick up girls. What are you saying? I'm saying that the design of country music today is just as dirty in its own right as hard rock. Now, it's designed a little different because it's reaching for a different audience. But Satan knows exactly what he's doing. Drink and dope and adultery go hand in hand with country music. And if you're a child of God, it will offend you greatly. Now listen. These are some of the songs that I've jotted down. Some of them are not number one anymore. Some of them were number one quite a ways ago. To show you what I'm talking about. Hot Legs. No Tell Motel. It's All Wrong, But It's All Right. Country music songs. Heaven's Just a Sin Away. I got news for the little lady that sung that one. It Don't Feel Like Sin to Me. Country Dope. Two More Bottles of Wine. The Power of Positive Drinking. One of my cousins put that one out. I don't want to go to heaven if heaven has no Mogan David wine. They don't have to worry. Sleeping Single in a Double Bed or something like that. Now, let me trouble you. Any church, and I saw one advertised over television in some city the other day. Any church that would have one of these so-called entertainers in their pulpits on Sunday morning to give their life story after they played in a Saturday night honky-tonk the night before, that church is a travesty. And I want to say this to you entertainers, and I know a lot of you watch me, and I love you. Because I love you, I'll tell you the truth. I want you to come to Jesus. I plead, come to Jesus. I cry, come to Jesus. If you don't, what you're in will eventually destroy you. But when you come to Jesus Christ, this may not sound good to your ears. You may not want to hear it, and most of the church world may laugh at it. But you're going to have to lay down that which you have been in and take up your cross and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. No other way. You can't start your show with your cheating heart and close it out with "How great thou art" and satisfy God. It won't work. Somebody said, well, country music is not too much into drugs. If it isn't, it's because they're too drunk. And those country stations, and a lot of you so-called Christians run country stations. I know you. You're no better than that rock crowd. You're selling your soul and the souls of those that listen to that rot for a dollar bill. All right now. Some of you still love me, but I'm going to get most of you now with this next one as I close. Contemporary gospel music. Oh Lord, help us. Somehow the church gets things mixed up when it comes to music. For years, it was a sin to have a piano. And then, finally, an organ was added, and don't dare set up drums or a guitar or a tambourine. There's nothing wrong with rhythm. God made it within the minds and hearts of people. And some churches today, I'm not advocating up-tempo, but I'm trying to tell you something. Oppressive spirits fill their music as some instrument whines and some people sing some old dirge. Does that bother you? Somebody said it's religious music. I know it is, and it would kill a dead man at midnight in a graveyard. Sacred music is for two purposes. Number one is worship. Worship. It's supposed to make, to draw a response of your heart toward God, to worship your Creator. I'm not talking about country now or rock. I'm talking about gospel. To make you worship the Lord. To make you adore Him and praise Him. And secondly, it is supposed to, if it does not elicit worship, elicit joy. What do you think little Miriam was doing when Moses crossed that Red Sea and 3 million Israelites look back at the might and power of Egypt floating on the waves? She grabbed a little tambourine and 3 million Israelites started dancing as the Spirit of God flowed through their hearts and joy filled their soul. Hallelujah. So it's nothing wrong with rhythm, providing the rhythm does not overtake the joy and become sensual instead of spiritual. All right. Most of the so-called contemporary music today, the word contemporary itself means like something else of similar nature. In other words, like rock, hard rock in the world. The lyrics say little or nothing. The music rolls in all type of directions until you cannot tell what it's really saying. And its direction is weird. I know what I'm talking about. You can argue with me if you want to. I've sold 12 million albums, more than any other human being that's ever lived on the face of the earth in gospel. I know a little bit about it. And I sold them because God Almighty touched my heart and touched my life. And my family hasn't been enriched from it. We haven't bought one automobile from it, not one house, not one piece of stock. I've been on radio and television for over 15 years, and not one penny of the money has gone to our pockets, not one cent. Today we're getting churches, Pentecostal churches, that are calling young people in and rolling strobe lights down to imitate the rock shows. You cannot tell the music from the next rock station. It sounds all alike. They say, well, we're trying to win the young people. Let me tell you this. And so-called contemporary or Christian rock, the name of Christ is vocalized, not glorified. Did you hear that? You're listening to me? I want to say it again. Oh, they say, but the name of Jesus is in it. Yes, but it's vocalized, but not glorified. In contemporary gospel music, the sensual is appealed to rather than the spiritual. Now listen. This type of music is not spiritual at all. It is an attempt at any cost to make Christ acceptable to men rather than calling men to become acceptable to Christ. You don't win the drunk by giving him liquor. You don't win the doper by giving him marijuana. There's anybody in this world that knows what he's talking about when it comes to music. I have seen music touch the lives of millions. I've seen it melt their hearts, the letters that's filled our office by the thousands over the years from people that's been saved by listening to a song with the anointing of the Holy Ghost in it. I have seen lives that were pressed down by Satan because of Holy Ghost joy filling their hearts, just as it did yours tonight. You saw that mansion for a moment. You saw the streets of gold. You saw the walls of jasper, and you saw yourself walking through that gate of pearl. I am not trying to be like the world, to look like the world, to sound like the world, to act like the world. I'm trying to be like God, to look like God, to act like God, to walk like God, to be like God. It won't help them. I know what I'm talking about. It won't help them. I fired radio station managers because they were playing that trash. And you so-called Christian radio stations that feed our young people on that garbage, and that's what it is. I know I'm going to get a lot of flack on this one, but I've had flack before. Just get in line. But I'm telling the truth. I'm telling the truth. I'm preaching the truth. So I don't have to back down. I know what I'm talking about. When you've lain on your face on the floor and cried to God as long as I have, when you've prayed and pleaded and fasted until you can hardly walk as I have, I know what the moving of the Spirit is. And the old-fashioned power of God's the only thing that's going to keep those kids. The only thing. Donnie said, Daddy, I want you to meet somebody. I turned around. A young man was standing there. I'd never seen him before. He was in our office in Baton Rouge. He called his name and said, this is the former lead guitar player, and called the name of then one of the most famous rock groups in the world. They were in the league of, they helped, let me see how to phrase it. They helped set the stage for the punk rock groups, the dirtiest, the most obscene. They were so bad for a while that the rock stations banned their records. And brother, when you get so bad, the rock stations ban your records, the records must smell. I can't imagine anything would be that bad that that ilk wouldn't play it. You're going to read a lot of things in Time and Newsweek about me. Because I'm not playing church. I'm not mincing words. I'm standing in the place that Isaiah once stood, and John the Baptist and Jeremiah. I looked at him. I wondered, what's he doing in my office? But you'd be surprised. Not him, but you'd be surprised. I preach at times a little bit hard. I never make anyone angry, but I come close to it at times. But you'd be surprised the number of country western stars that called me. Because you see, deep in their heart, they know you can't hold to the world with one hand and God with the other. They know that. And when they really need help, they want somebody they trust and they believe in. All right. I turned to him. I shook his hand. I know he noticed the look of astonishment on my face. He said, well, Donnie really said it. He said, Dad, he's been saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost. He's now preaching the gospel. I asked him, I said, Bill, how in the world did you get saved? He's now preaching in colleges and universities all over this nation. Turned his back totally on that world. That's what you've got to do. See? I said, was your mother a Christian? Your dad a Christian? Your sister, brother, loved ones? He said, no, not a member of my family was saved. I said, well, how in the world did you come to God? He said, Jimmy Swaggart, I was the most spaced out doper you've ever seen. He said, I would go for months and not know where I'd been. Said, I would play concert after concert not knowing what songs I was playing, and so high on drugs that my mind was literally coming out of my brain. I said, well, how in the world did you get saved? He said, every once in a while I'd go into my office, get my mail, picked up a letter one day. Little girl wrote me, he said. She said, William, I'm a Christian. And you're dying and going to hell if you don't give your heart to Jesus. You'd better get saved. He said he cursed and watered it up and threw it across the room. Another one of those Jesus freaks. A month later, got his mail again, same little girl. William, I'm praying for you. You're coming to God. Conviction starts to set in. Now, this thing is powerful, mister. Glory to God, it's powerful. Hallelujah. It's more powerful than every power the devil has. It's more powerful than rock music or drugs or marijuana or cocaine or heroin. It is the gospel of the living God, and it can break the bonds and the chains and the shackles of sin. The Word, the Word, the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Glory be to the Lamb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. 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 He said, and you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And I want to serve notice on demons and devils and hell and darkness. You will not have the last word. You will not have the last day. The Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. He trembled and shook. Threw it away. He said, every month I'd go in to get my mail. Said, I got to the place I was scared to get it. Said, I'd think, oh God, it's another one of those letters. Scrawled, long hand, Dear William. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Not all the young people are going to hell. Not all the young people are lost. Not all the young people are on booze. Not all the young people are on drugs. Not all the young people are smoking pot. Some of them are living for Jesus. Some of them holding up the name of our God. Some of them are walking in righteousness and purity. Some are saying yes to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm not saying it's easy. It's not easy. Like the United States Marines say, we only want a few good men. Insinuating all the rest of them, not much. Takes a man, takes a woman to live for God. He would open it up. Lead guitarist in one of the most powerful rock groups on the face of the earth. Money like water. Concerts that the buildings would be wrecked with thousands and thousands of teenagers. He'd read it, trembling hands, saying, oh God. And I'm going to tell you where he got saved. This will just give the devil fits. I'm a romantic at heart anyway. I don't like that old, cold, dead church religion either. I can't stand it. I like something that's exciting. I'm still the high noon walk out. Pull her back. Glory! And the God I serve isn't dead either. He's alive. Hallelujah. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. And our nation's not going to hell. One night in a concert, high on coke, and I'm not talking about Coca-Cola either. He said, I can't stand it anymore. I just can't stand it anymore. I'm going to kill myself. I can't go any longer. I can't. Now listen to me, you young people. This is one of the stars talking. It's no good. It's a dead end. Playing that guitar. He said, Jesus, right in the middle of the song. Jesus, glory to God and the Lamb forever. Hallelujah. David said, if I make my bed in hell, he's there. Saying, dear Jesus, I don't know if you really live or not. I don't know if you was really born of the Virgin Mary. I don't know if you really existed, but if you did, I'm so sick of this drugs. I'm so sick of this rock and roll thing. I'm so sick of this rotten life. I'm so sick of this hypocrisy still playing every chord. I'm so sick of it, God, I can't stand it. And if you really live, would you come into my heart? He said, Brother Swaggart, something rolled all over me that was bigger than drugs, bigger than marijuana, bigger than cocaine, bigger than heroin, bigger than demons, bigger than rock and roll, bigger than hell ever had, bigger than the powers of darkness. Right on a rock and roll stage, Jesus Christ saved his soul, washed him and cleansed him by the blood of the Lamb. That's the God I serve. That's the Jesus that I serve. He stood there before me. I put my arms around him, pulled him to me. We were right in the middle of our office, secretaries and typists everywhere. I couldn't help but a whip. I said, devil, you lost this one. You lost it. Jesus saves you out of something unto something. And he's your only answer. My soul in sad exile was out on life's sea. The haven of rest is the only thing that can save you, Jesus. I've preached hard tonight. I've pulled no punches. I've called it just like it is. But I'm telling you, the cross is still there. And Jesus is still there. And he's saying, come home.